Executive Kremis City and the Honorable Mr. Mayor will serve as the lead for your hearing this morning, sir. So just hold on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good morning, sir. I want to check something that we have. Looks like your mother and father are here in the boardroom with us. Do either of you want to speak this morning? Okay, when we get to that point, I'll can come up to the podium there and we'll get that done. Okay, so Mr. Clark, can you state your full name and your ABC number for us, please?
Demetrius Vidal Clark, 255-624.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Honorable Board of Executive Committee this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation.
Yes, sir.
I may introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. Moving on to my far right is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and then there is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Then we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. And to my left is the Honorable Louis Canonis. Also, first of all, my name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead this morning. And also in the room, we have Mr. Rusty from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office today. So prior to the hearing, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I represent myself today, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. At this time, I am going to swear you, Mr. Rusby, and your father. Ms. Mother, do you wish to speak to him? Okay, so then both of you, so all four people. Yes. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so you're going to be conducting two phases today. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So what I'm going to do for phase one is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on the warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false, and if you think it's false, we'll get more information from Mr. Westby, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, allegation number one is a violation of variable condition of supervision number 13-0, and demonstrated by your failure to refrain from entering into any establishment where the targeted clientele population is under the age of 18. That includes water parks, theme parks, playgrounds, arcades, etc. on about April 11th, 2018. Is that one true or false, sir?
Sure.
Okay, allegation number two is a violation of the condition of supervision number 13B, as demonstrated by the failure to remain at your approved residence each night unless prior approval is given by your supervising officer, and that was on about April 28, 2018. True or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
Okay. So, based on the admission of Mr. Clark, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of the supervision and that he may have lapsed or about lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Morris, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, sir, we're going to move into phase two in a moment, but before we do that, Mr. Westby is going to get some background information. So stay on the phone, and I'll get back to you in a couple of minutes, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Westby.
On February 8th, 2018, Mr. Clark was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 1st, 2018 by ABC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody May 1st, 2018 with a projected community supervision end date of July 12th, 2019, zero escondes. Current conviction, 2010, sexual conduct with a minor, 10 years. Prior convictions are none. This is his first term in DOC. His CUIR score is 3.3. mental health score 1, substance abuse score 1. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, there are none listed. No prior terms. His disciplinary violations are moderate. He has no other arrest on record. His community risk score is a G3 V3. Mr. Clark is a level 2 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, SVP reviewable. Victim was 13 years old. DCAC, dangerous crimes against children, is cited in court docs.
Thanks, sir. Okay, so we're a summary of the case supervision. And let's see, for your residence, you were originally released with no approved residence, but then on February 8, 2018, you were approved to reside at 4006 West Van Buren Street, Phoenix, Arizona, temporarily. Then on the 22nd of February 2018, you were approved to reside at 1534 West McKinley Street, number 13 in Phoenix. So did you stay at that McKinley address until you were violated, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you have any work while you were out?
No, sir, I did start college.
Okay. And so you were referred to task, and you had a couple of lines. And then your testing history was, let's see, it was 2, 4, 5 UVAs that were all negative. That's very commendable, sir. And a lot of drug and alcohol problems out there. So let's see, and sanctions on April 12, 2018, you were staffed by P.S. Fleischman and went to see you went to the Maricopa County Fair, and P.S. Fleischman reiterated to you that your restrictions from entering any establishment that targeted minor age children, the offender, you were acknowledged understanding this restriction. So, why did you go to the fair, sir?
I went to the fair, sir, because it was at the heat of my men. My family was just gone, and I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking. When I got out, I was talking about people, about everything, and I got laxed on. Instead of calling to make sure I was one of the people I shouldn't have went, I did call. So that was the reason, sir.
Okay. But the county fair was targeted into all age brackets, but it was especially with the wide and everything brings in juveniles. So, the assistant didn't stay at the residence every night, and that's probably why you got revoked. Looks like you went to Circle K and then stayed down there for, I don't know, about an hour, almost an hour, 45 minutes?
Yes, sir.
And you didn't ask for permission to leave during curfew hours. That was, let's see here, that was on April 28th. And I guess when the PO contacted you, you said you didn't leave. So why didn't you tell the PO the truth about that? I mean, you're wearing a GPS monitor, so.
Yes, sir, I most definitely was. Wait, why I said it was because last time I told the truth about anything, I ended up with 10 years. And I was just like, I'm just going to lie, which is a very stupid and dumb decision for my behalf. And I'm pretty sure if I would have just told you right then to my PO, I would be sitting in this situation right now.
Okay. It says that, you were in the court office, and when Pierce Fleischman showed you the computer screen and all the information on it and everything, and he said he inspected your device. I know there's no signs of tampering or anything, so he didn't expect that or think that it had been taken off your leg and somebody else took it down to the Circle K and came back. So, but you still say you were at that Circle K?
I did say that, which was a lie.
Okay.
Lie.
All right, you're trying to talk your way out of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir, I was.
Okay, I'm going to see if my board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Knoll?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Clark?
Yes, sir.
For these types of hearings, we usually don't ask too many questions about the crime that led to your conviction, but you just stated that you told the truth and wound up in jail, and so this time you didn't tell the truth. But just for me to understand the crime that led to your conviction, was the victim your girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I won't get any deeper than that. I'm trying to piece together where you're at.
Yes, sir.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, sir. That seemed like quite an age spread for a girlfriend from the age you were at the time. Is there a question from the Mr. Johnson?
Sir, what were you doing when you went to the Circle K and the convenience stores? What were you doing?
I went to the store to get some condoms, and then me and my girlfriend, we was just spending out there talking, we was just chilling with a couple friends.
And then you went to the other store, what were you doing?
I just been chilling with some friends, just talking.
And what about the fairgrounds, when you went to the fairgrounds?
I went with my family. Yes, sir.
So you do understand that, you know, being on that ankle mount is a very serious thing that attracts all your activities in the movement.
Yes, sir, I do.
You didn't understand that in the beginning.
I didn't understand. I didn't ask the questions that I should have.
So this is the only time that you had any regular contacts with law enforcement? It looks like you have no prior record before that.
No, sir.
So were you going to school or anything like that, Mr. Clark?
I was going to AAI College right before I got arrested, sir.
And how long had you been at AAI?
I had just started. It was 2 days.
What were you taking out?
Diesel. The diesel program.
Okay, thank you, sir.
No problem, sir.
I have another follow-up. You said when you went to the Circle K, you were hanging out with your girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
Is this the same one that did you got in trouble with?
No, sir. No, sir, not at all.
How old is this young lady?
She was 26.
Okay. All right. For no further questions from the board, I'm going to ask your parents to come up and tell us what they'd like.
Thank you.
State your name.
Okay, my name is Temple Lawrence. I have Demetrius stepmom. I want to interact on a couple of things. First of all, I do apologize for my son being at that chair. He was just in the car with us. We ended up just running to the area, but the family was trying to surprise him. I really didn't know that part of the rule on that part. He did. I did, but he just never had a chance. And his mother was raised with abused him and his brothers, physically, mentally, and verbally. When I got with Junior, Junior was 4 years behind. He was used to being with little younger kids because he was 4 years behind. His brothers was 3 years behind. His other brother was 2 years behind. Me and my husband went to Alabama and got Junior and his two brothers. And about the amount of chaotic situation, you have no idea. His mom leave them in the house by himself. Their bills was off. His mom abused him. His mom was a stripper. His mom was an alcoholic. I forgive me, but sometimes people need to know the truth to know what's going on with people. We found out what was going on with my husband's son. We didn't even know what's his true son because his mom was hiding 3 years from him. My mother had passed in Alabama, which made us go back to Alabama, the reason we were there. Found out Demetrius was looking for my husband, which is his father. We found him. We see the situation they were living in. We brought him, his two brothers, and his mama to Arizona with us because of love we had for Junior to get him out of this kind of situation. Mom came up here with us. Mom left 5 days after we got here. Junior's been with me for 9 years so far. His brothers too. I raised until they got 18. When they got 18, they decided to leave. That's bad. Demetrius got in trouble. Demetrius had never been put out of school. Demetrius, we raised in the South, probably in Alabama, so the rules, we don't play in the South, in other words. They know it. So this is why Demetrius, no drugs. When they didn't come into school in the house, we would search their book bags, look at their eyes. Look at their hands, because we knew all the things that kids would do. So, and I think the reason Demetrius had his young girlfriend, because Demetrius was so far behind, and his mom was behind in time, because he was still like, he's LD, really, really bad. I'm not making no excuses for my son, first of all, understand that. I want my son to be done right, so I won't make excuses for him. I'm the type to impose punishment for your mistakes. That background, I deeply apologize for giving my son a tool for that. That is my fault. Please forgive me for that part. Now, the point he left, he knew he should have left. We were up and down. I live on 19th Avenue in Union Hills. That's where Junior comes every day when he was at home to stay with the family. We left up there to go home back to McKinley every day. Every day. We were not a rich family. Gas is going high, but we did. We had to do the mission, my son, enjoy life again. That mistake he made, he knew he was wrong. Believe me, he was scared of us. And he is here. Because he knew he was wrong. The disappointment he did hurts him more, I'm sure. But I apologize for my son. Me and my husband, we apologize. We raised our kids to be problemless for you. None of our kids are in your system. Again, we deeply apologize. Demetrius, I'm sure he's learned his lesson. I really don't know really much, but we came a long way. He's came a long way. He even attempted suicide when he was with his mom. These things he told me since I got my son. Respect, he's been raised with it. I can be gone today in my grave, and he still will respect people. But yes, sir, no, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, he better. I still do it, because I feel like my mom would. Believe me, I don't. My husband, on doors, we saw he did it for the young lady. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pop put out nobody in particular, but we've been raised right. We do try to do our best. I was super bad at Junior, but he was just getting in trouble with pimps. I always talk to him, we're going to be a part of the law, be on this side, not against it. They have other things, they got lies to say, criminals to catch, whatever. This is a waste of your time. I do again deeply apologize for my son being that there. But he had never been in there. I mean, he had been one, yeah, but it wasn't really enjoyable. He had been gone 10 years. I feel like his life had been snatched away from him. This is my stepson. I have so much love for him. He deserves it. He's not a bad kid at all.
never been put out of school. He was in 12th grade, he got, went to jail the first time. Never been put out of school. Never, after school, never disabled that. Never. None of his brothers, none of my kids. But he's my kids to be good kids. This was just a simple mistake he made. He don't do drugs, he don't drink. He already know, I still grew my kids' name, my older kids. I mean, they're always our kids. But how long they are, they still our kids. So I don't want to just say this, whatever you guys decide. I mean, I know it's what your job, however, I understand. But this was just a dumb mistake he made. And he didn't know better. He knew better. I don't think he'll make this dumb mistake no more. And I'll make sure he'll have to come out later tonight to come back while I drop him off here. It doesn't change, which I don't think it should take that no more. But as a mother and a dad, we will do what we have to do to keep our children safe. They slip. We slip. But we'll be gone. So, I'm going to make sure he don't slip no more if he have to. Thank you.
No questions.
My name is Darren Moore.
Okay, thank you.
I'm the father of Demetri Bernier Clark. Gentlemen, ladies, really, I don't know what to say. I raised 12 kids in my household, counting nieces, nephews. Not one of them, not one, ever been here. I never been here. So that's why I don't even know how to even approach this situation. That boy right there is the only child, son, that I have. I never made one mistake on the 12 kids that I raised. In Alabama, you whoop your kids when they do wrong. The neighborhood whoop your kids when they do wrong. We so understand that it take a village to raise a child. That's our rules, that's what we was raised for. I've been beat with switches, sticks, bricks, belts, everything to make sure I don't do wrong. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. My son was took away from me for 10 years for a mistake that he made as a child that he thought was a child mistake, which in turn brought in grown rules. We was all raised to abide by the rules of the land and the law of the land. We was raised that way, all of us. He was too. No excuses on what he done. I feel sorry and I apologize to the young lady, her parents, what they had to go through raising a child after what had happened to her. The day of the trial, I asked the judge one thing, one favor for me. I told him, the government owned his head, his back, the lower part of his leg and his foot. I own his butt. And if you release him for one second to give me that butt, I promise you, I would have woke up. Because that's the way I was raised. When we moved to Arizona, the law was a whole lot different. You can't beat your child here. You can only talk to them, chastise them, and hope they get into their head to make sure they do what you need them to do to abide by the laws of the land. When I did that, I lost control of my child. Because like I said, blood whipping means a lot. And it tells you that you got a parent that cares. And if you do wrong, this is the outcome you're going to get. Because I'd rather whoop your butt than let a law officer shoot you down, beat you down for something that you done wrong. And you don't abide by the law. Because the rules is, you have to abide by the law. Regardless of how you feel. And you know this. I slept twice in my lifetime to 12 kids. Once, when you got that case in Casa Grande with the little girl. Because the house that we live in, it's a two-part house. It's two levels. We stay up top, and the kids stayed at the bottom with my brother-in-law and my disabled sister, which I take care of her. I wasn't getting up in time. I wasn't going downstairs checking on, hey, is my kid doing what they're supposed to do? Because I got a brother-in-law down there. He's supposed to be doing this for you. He's supposed to be making sure, hey, we do the right thing. We raise these kids. We're doing this together. Somehow that little girl got into my house. And again, I feel so sorry for the little girl. I'm not saying that she wasn't raised right, because that means my son wasn't raised right. Because both of them should have known. Now, he should have known more, because he was older.
Exactly.
He should have known more. So, sir, we was tore up when our son didn't come home from school. That day, they took him to jail. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know where my son was. I had to call around and I found out this what had happened. Now, let me give you one background on one of my other sons. One of my other sons was in school being a bully. I asked an officer, could you please take my son down to the, excuse my language, to the jailhouse. Hold him so he can see how it feels to be arrested for being a bully or doing anything wrong. He said, sir, I appreciate what you're doing, but I really can't do that. But I wish I could. Because if I had been able to do that, maybe I can reach this boy here so he won't make no more mistakes further in the future. I'm an aggressive father, and I'll do whatever it takes to make sure they understand the rules and the laws of the land. If it comes from me beating them, if it comes from me getting the law to come to my house to talk to them, to threaten them, to scare them, to whatever it took, I did. And in my neighborhood, the officer come to my house and ask for Mr. Moore, could you please come out? And I go out and talk to him. And he would tell me, hey, listen, I found out your children is running with the wrong crowd. Now, they ain't got in no trouble yet. But I just want you to understand, they're running with the wrong crowd. And me, being a father, I said, Dad, you don't go nowhere after school. Unless you're in some activity after school, you come home. You do your homework, you stay in this yard. I bind them to the yard. And these kids were 16 and 17 years old at the time. Every one of my kids came out of school early. Like my wife said, we got them up in grade where they supposed to be because of the situation with their mom. Now, I don't blame their mom for how they was raised because she was a single parent raising three boys. When I got custody of the other three boys to show the mom that I have no problem, I'm not upset with her, all she had to pay me was $35 child support for three boys. And I raised two of them, wasn't even mine. And even my son now, even questioning, is I'm his real father. But I know that's my son. Regardless of what mom and anybody else say. I raised this boy, and the mistakes that he made is convict of a child, not a grown man. By him being gone for 10 years, his mind ain't developed as a grown-up, as one of us, because we know better to abide by the rules. If somebody say, hey, look, you're going to be in the house at this time, I'm going to be in the house at that time, because that was my mom and her when I was growing up, too. But see, he's like a child. He still ain't here. He don't understand this. He understand these rules is important to life. Because if you don't follow, you get punished. His parole officer. I could win him. He put his neck on the line for my son. Because he trusted him too. That's why he was so upset that he wouldn't tell the truth about where he been. We got this monitor. We know everywhere you're going, son. You can't tell us that you're not there. We know you're there. He was saying himself that he had to send this boy back to jail because he knew the parents that we was. All the tests, the task that he went to, he passed them because the simple fact of this, you ain't drinking, you ain't smoking, and you ain't gonna do nothing illegal, period. My fault was I didn't get out of my bed late at night to go back and check out. Once I dropped him off at 8 o'clock. Now, and my wife stayed, you years, I stay in Tampa. So sometimes you come down there, visit for a few minutes, because he wasn't allowed to stay at my home. He wasn't allowed to stay with neither one of us. And that was the product of, because I'm on Section 8, I'm in the program. Hey, and I appreciate the government for everything they've done for me. But if my son would have been closer to me, in no way in the world this would happen. And I ask you, if he touched the ground, put your feet on the dirt one more time, if I had to sit there and go to sleep at this place, I would be there. And he would not, I'm not going to take him back there. That's too close to where he made a mistake at. It's just like taking him back to Casa Grande where he made a mistake there. I wouldn't want him back there. I wouldn't want him where he just made a mistake at. This time, I put him further and further. And this time, I take him further. If I have to take him off this plane, he's going to learn. And he's going to do what he's supposed to do. And he's going to abide by the law. And that's the truth. If I ever told him, Lord, I am sorry. To you and your program, to the board, for him to have to come back to you guys to ask for another, some more help when you leave. He was granted to go home after 10 long years. There's so many people that don't make it out of that prison, and then the ones that get out of there take it for granted. And to what it looked like, my son done that. He took it for granted. And I say he done that because still young. You're not at 17. He didn't have a chance to be grown. Now he said he didn't have a job. He had a job. They just didn't put him on the schedule.
Yeah.
Cause we got him hired at Del Taco right next to his mom's house.
He never get started.
We kept going back up there to check on him. They still tell him all kinds of excuses. We never put him on the schedule. But I took him to AI to put him in college to get him a start. Okay, you made a mistake. You paid your debt to society. Now, we're going to make sure the next step that you take is going to be towards making you a better future. That's how college got there. That's why, and then we explained to the people at the college what he went through, so they know this. We didn't have time to get letters from the college for him. We took out loans and everything. He'd been there 2 days exactly like he said. And these people at the college is sitting there calling me every day, asking me what's going on with him. Is he coming back? Because they were so impressed about what he had did the 2 days that he was there, they want him back. I want him there. Because I know they're going to better his life. So many African Americans have it so hard because they have one parent in the household. But that is not an excuse for being successful. Because so many grandparents' children who grew up, they've been in college, become doctors, lawyers, and everybody else, as you guys should know. Now, I took up a lot of your time, but I just really want to say that. I thank you all. Again, I appreciate your program, sir. And it's up to you guys to give me back my son. Thank you.
Do you have any questions? Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Clark, we're nearing the end of your hearing, and before we go into discussion, make a determination, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Any other information that you think might be pertinent to our decision, we just ask that you don't repeat information that we already have.
No, sir. My mother and my father spoke on everything, and I said what I had to say to sir. So that'll be it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. The board will be willing to have a discussion and make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. But we ask you to stay on the phone, remain silent, and once we've made a decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, what is that discussion? Well, this is truly an unfortunate situation. He spent a long time in there, and you know, the age difference now between the young lady, the 10 years ago, it was not close enough, but it was still a lot closer than right now as far as the age difference. But I'm not condoning any kind of activity like that, especially with the minor. But it seems that his expedition with his girlfriend to the store. And probably for the girlfriend with the name, so we can have that kind of process. I'm quite impressed by his parents, especially his father's presentation. I understand when I'm growing up, go to school, and somebody knew you were in trouble and ask you what. But now my dad beat me last night, so, nowadays people say that, and they might truly be child abusers, so sometimes kind of have to watch the way we describe it. But I would guarantee you, I didn't take anything you said as anything abusive in your punishment.
Yes, sir.
I was beat a few times, and I didn't have all the different things, but I had a spread of a razor strap.
Yes, sir.
I never got used on me, but it was always there, and it was impressive, and it scared the out of me. I think Mr. Clark's attitude has changed a bit since he was out. He realizes that it's a hard thing to teach kids when they're growing up that you don't lie, but they tell you the truth when they get in trouble, and it kind of gets stuck on the side of their brain about, wait a minute, you know, if I tell the truth, I get in trouble, if I lie, I might not get in trouble. And I think he let himself get put in that situation and found out that lying to the PO was not a good idea. And just reading the reports, how he, like the PO, was trying to get him to confess so he could sanction him and move on and not put him back in jail. The amount of time that Mr. Clark has left is quite a while, a little over a year. And with the answer I see of him and the support of his parents, I would be in favor of returning to community supervision and same conditions and probably add a couple just to be on the safe side. But I'm willing to listen to discussions from any of my fellow board members if they have any. All right, so based on all the information, in warrant number 2018W1281, and the testimony from Mr. Clark and his parents, and information from DOC, I would move to return Mr. Clark to new supervision with the same conditions, plus a couple that I will mention in a couple of minutes. But that is my motion, and I'll delineate conditions in a moment.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Johnson. Did you agree with Dr. Ray?
Yes.
Please would act right with Jones and this room. Okay, and we're... And I'm going to put placement at parole officer discretion, even though you might be more familiar with places. I am going to suggest that he possibly, or that if he had to appeal, we'll find it, but to placement with some, when I say mental health treatment, it's some evaluation and stuff like that, because with the past he's had, it probably would be a good idea to have some counseling. Now this is one we haven't had a problem that we don't want to see one come up, and that's appeals to start revocation process upon the first positive, deluded, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. And because of it was on GPS, I don't know how that part of it set up, but I'm going to put recommend GPS monitoring for 90 days, and then that way he can get stabilized out there.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm going to put, removal of that discretion of the parole officer. That way the PO, he better judge as it goes on. Okay, I believe that pretty well covers it, unless there's something that my board member, fellow board member would like to add. Okay, Mr. Clark.
Yes, sir.
I think you've heard the decision. We voted to return you to community supervision, give you another opportunity.
Yes, sir.
And yes, it's a hard lesson to learn that if you tell the truth, sometimes you get in trouble for it, but I think in the long run, you figure out that it's less trouble than if you lie about it.
And, yes, I have.
Okay, and so did you hear the conditions, the add conditions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, can you live with that?
Yes, sir, I can.
Oh, I just wanted to add that under one of those amended conditions with the GPS monitoring is because of the fact that the conviction is dangerous crimes against children cited under ARS 13-604.01, that he would be required to be in GPS monitoring during the duration of supervision, so that's not an option to have removed. Just all that way the board is worth.
So when people be there,
when he's released, he's going to have that in place.
Correct. So when you want to put that 90 day in that, all right, sir, and I think you have the wrath of your father, if you, not to speak to your mother, sometimes mother's wrath is a little bit more subtle than dad. But you have good community support, but you have to listen to them, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, thank you for appearing, and this will end your hearing, and will you put the CO3 back on the phone, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right.